Amen. Morning, church. Please forgive my Bible being filing cabinet as well. But there is only one document that authenticates my salvation. It's the Bible. You dismiss what this says and you cast doubt on my salvation. Start to dismiss this and you have real problems. Christians think entirely different to non-Christians. And there's a very real danger that if we fail to teach the doctrines of the Bible, it will lead to a generation to stick their newfound faith onto old humanistic thinking. So the backcloth will not be renewed. It's a completely, radically different. Your eyes have been opened. You see things differently. We're about to read a passage in Colossians that is about the absolute supremacy of Jesus Christ. Fundamentally, obviously it's the Word of God. And it's foundational to us. It is the passage that claims him to be the creator of the world. Yes, the creator of the world. You cannot dismiss that doctrine and secure your foundation. Salvation is fundamentally important. And we're living in a world now where there's so many conflicting voices, and I want to say to you, you can't bury your head in the sand and just see church as a place that makes you feel good. You have to know this stuff. So let's turn to one of the really most beautiful passages in Colossians. I'm going to read just a few verses before. So we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We'll read from verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance, patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then this is the particular passage. It goes on to say, he, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers, authority, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Great passage. Incidentally, when it says the firstborn, it literally means the supreme. That is not a time statement. I don't have time to reinforce that. I promise you, if you read the theologians of the past, I might forget it was a really difficult word. Some translate it first begotten and so on. Okay. Revelation chapter 4 says these words. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. I really don't know when we last handled this subject. I'm amazed the way we're doing it today, but I just have to go with what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart. We are being bombarded by a world that holds different views. Our children are being taught it as if it is scientific fact, and it is intruding to every corner of our lives. The Bible is absolutely clear that Jesus Christ was before all things. He created all things in him hold together, and they were created for his glory. A world created by God, for God. Very completely different way of thinking, the Christian to the non-Christian. And as I say, we need to raise a generation that take the word of God exactly as it is, and not try to hang it for ease of comfort on a worldview that is different to a Bible view. Amen? Literally, from him and through him and to him are all things. I'm going to walk into, I guess, a slightly dodgy area. But what you believe, world over, in my view, is faith-based. Evolutionary scientists will claim that that is what they are, that they're dealing a matter of fact. But whichever camp you are in, I don't know the third one, either the evolutionary or the creationary, both are fraught with difficulties. But one of the greatest difficulties I stepped outside this morning. First thing that struck me when I stepped outside this morning is what a warm night it was. Should have been cold. Beautiful night. Then I looked up at the stars, not a cloud in the sky. And a theological word came to mind. Wow. How magnificent. How incredibly magnificent. And even in that moment, my spirit was overwhelmed with the awareness that within my body, billions of things were happening at one time in order to maintain life for me. And that this does not happen by chance. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The early church used to have a phrase for this, which we can put on here. Now, my Latin isn't that good, but I think it's worth us thinking about it. Sorry, it's not in very big print, that. Ex nihilo. If I haven't pronounced that right, forgive me, I haven't got a clue. However, this is the phrase that they used for literally made out of nothing. That there was no other material that pre-existed the earth when God created it. Made out of nothing. That's what the Bible says. So, for example, we've read it today. He made all things. By the way, the all means all. All things hold together were created by him. We know the famous verses of 1 John 1. I'm not going to actually teach you anything, I don't think. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what... Sorry, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was not visible. Actually, theologically, we do not have time to do this. But if any material existed before God created the world, then it calls into question his right to be God. You need to think about that. And questions his power to control what he's made. And so the Bible makes this incredible claim that out of nothing he created the world. Out of absolutely nothing. He spoke it, and that by the power of his word, the world was formed. That is a fundamental, basic Christian value set. It is the claim of the Bible. And that he created, in the passage that we read, both the visible and the invisible. So don't start saying to yourself, well, I know he created that tree, touchy-feely, but I'm not so certain of the angels. The angels are just as physical as the tree. Heaven is just as physical as earth. Do you believe that? Those are fundamental. The devil is a person who was created. The problem we have is that these things are invisible to us. That's the claim the Bible makes. They are invisible to us, or most of the time, or at the present time. They are invisible. And by faith we believe the world was created. It's like an entirely different way of thinking to the world out there. And so I want to do something with you that I guess at the end of the day it might just be an opinion. But I'd like you to think for a moment. I'm going to show you, if it works, if not we'll just talk about it, a clip of a video or a TV program that I saw this week. But this is an important idea to me that we need to explore. I want you to imagine what sort of church we would have and what sort of world we would live in if everything that had been created could be dated to recent history. When I say recent history, by the way, I am meaning 10,000 years. Not just a random figure, okay? I haven't got any prior knowledge as to what that date might be, but we're going to guess at 10,000 years. And we count 10,000 years as recent history. In other words, you would have heard claimed on the television, books, wherever, that the world is now 450 billion years old. So 10,000 is just a snip. But I want you to imagine that every bit of archaeology, every fossil, every geological formation, all peoples of the earth, all life forms, every animal and being could be focused to one defining moment when the world was created, that you could prove that from a point in recent history, the whole thing emerged. How would it affect the world in which we lived? How would it affect church? I want you to think long and hard about this. I mean, a natural reaction is to say, wouldn't it be great if you could prove scientifically that God created the world? Well, it might help you, but I would suggest you it would create a whole load of massive disadvantages as well. One, places like this might be filled with people that don't want to be but have to be here, because the other alternative is not worth thinking about. The natural fact, finding your way to good God would be the realm of the intelligent rather than of the faithful. I don't think I want to go in that world. And it is my view that God is the master, because what he didn't want was the intellect to fool a man. What he wanted was the heart of a bride that would love his son who created all things. Amen? And so he has brilliantly created a world that looks for those that want to worship him. To me, it's a master move. We're not, that's fine. I was watching a TV program. It's a bit on the edge TV program. It's called Coast, The Great Guide. It's not that, on the edge. Well, I suppose it is on the edge, actually. Yeah. And they were doing a thing on South Wales. And this very lovely lady, who's got a very nice manner about her, was saying, you know, as you go along the coast of the Gower, there is this, this, and this. And apparently it was from this particular town that a scientist, well, I can't remember his name now, in 18-something or other, discovered a fossil. And simply her words says, "This has disproved that the Bible is true." That was her phrase. "This has disproved that the Bible is true." And then goes on to say, "For we have now discovered that it was impossible for this particular fossil to be here without developing over 450 million years? And my first reaction is, how can you say that? But two, thank the Lord my grandchildren aren't here. But that subliminal message is being planted constantly the whole time. When the Bible says he made everything by the word of his mouth. Now, it's not lost on me that people say the world could be 450 million years old. The issue, of course, is I don't have a problem if God wants to do it that way. That's absolutely fine. My personal view is that he created what's known as a mature world, but that's only an opinion. In fact, what is for sure is the Bible never makes much of time, either when he's coming again or when he did it. It's never been a time issue. God never bothers to fill in the bits that we don't need. He simply says this, he created it by the word of his mouth. Simply, he did that. When I looked up at the skies, I felt myself saying, Lord, you've left your fingerprint everywhere. I can see your footsteps in the sand, but you remain invisible. The Bible tells us that if you look at the creation, it should tell us that there is a creator. Interestingly, Matthew and Luke, how many of you, when you've had your Bible readings, you're going to read Luke or Matthew, and that's certainly a better deal than Lamentations or Jeremiah, possibly. Would you agree? And then you turn there and it says, Jesus, the Son of God, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. And you've got two whole chapters of the Gospels dedicated to a genealogical record back to Adam. Actually, there was I think he was an Irish bishop, I can't remember his name, but in very early days, he worked out the ages and worked out that possibly the age of the earth is 4,005 years old. That is somewhat flawed in a number of ways, again, which we do not have to deal with. But I have no problem accepting that the world was created by God for his glory at some time in comparatively recent history. Psalm 33 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, and he put the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. So, for instance, there is a scripture in Genesis chapter 1, many of you all know it, where God says, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, trees, etc., etc. He said, let these things be done according to his word. And it was so. And as he spoke, it came into being. He said it, and it certainly seems to infer that he said it, and it happened. It doesn't seem to infer that he said it, and it took 450 billion years to happen. And by the way, at the end of the day, actually, I don't really care. You see, here it is, do we believe the word of God that says, out of nothing, he created all things, the whole universe, to the end of the world? And actually, if he did that, is there any more skill to do in 6 days or 450 billion years? Do you need any more skill to raise the dead? Do you need any more skill to call about the second coming or to heal the sick? Once you have pulled off, excuse me using this phrase, I'm sure it's not in the Bible, once you've pulled off the trick of creating the universe with breath, anything is possible. Anything is possible. My conviction that there's a phrase in Romans 1 that talks about they believe the lie. We have got to tell our children it's a lie. Do not stick your salvation onto the back cloth of some humanistic thinking that does not say, it needs to say clearly, God created all things by the breath of his mouth. That the Lord Jesus created all things for his glory. He was there from the beginning and he spoke it into being. Now, you don't have to answer this question. I'm not sure I can. Because we've always had a godless world in many ways. But in our lifetime, there has been a level of godlessness that has developed along with the evolutionary so-called discoveries. And I'm not sure which one comes first. My personal conviction is the issue is not one of evolution or creation. The issue is this, that if there is a God who created the whole world, including me and you, in the breath of his mouth, if he did that, and according to Psalm 24, I belong to him, then that makes me accountable to him. You have no option. The Bible says you are not your own. You are bought with a price. The Bible says that he created the earth and everything in it and everybody who dwells therein. You are not your own. You are accountable to your creator. If, however, you can build a world where it happened by accident, then actually with it comes the subliminal message which says, I am responsible for my own destiny. There is nobody else to take control. I must take control. And actually, it makes you not just like God. You make yourself your own small God. Are you tracking with me? And that, I fear, is the spirit of this age and the spirit of this world that has infiltrated our schools and our universities and up and down this land, our children's TV programs, our adults' TV programs. It has infiltrated every part of our lives. When the Bible states it like this, that he created everything by the breath of his mouth and called all things into being for his glory. He is the creator of the world, and every man will be held accountable. The world had a beginning and it's going to have an end. It's got a sell-by date, not a lot different to what you find on your supermarket bread. It's just a bit longer. It says that when he has finished, he will roll it up like a garment. But what will last forever? Is it the universe? No. What will last forever is his word. So Jesus says, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will last forever. Amen. And all things hold together through him. Hebrews 1 that we read. He sustains all things by his powerful will. I love messing around with this sort of thing, but do you know in the book of Genesis, on the first day he created light and day and night? And then on the fourth day he created the sun. Did you know that when Jesus died, for a number of hours, the sun stopped shining? People will tell you, and it's an eclipse. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It says it stopped shining. There were times in the Old Testament when he made the sun go backwards. When it comes to the New Jerusalem, there will be light, but there will be no sun, for he is the light. What holds this world together? Is it the sun? No, it's not. According to the word of God, he sustains all things by the word of his mouth. All things hold together through him. You breathe because God says you're allowed to. You live because he sets the boundaries. I listened to an interesting TV program. You think I do nothing but watch TV. You're right. I only work one day a week. This was a little while back, but I was really fascinated to listen to a program where the scientists were developing weapons to knock asteroids out of space. Because apparently one day, there's going to be an asteroid that's going to hit our planet. And when it does, don't plan your holiday. I haven't lost much sleep over that one. Lost sleep over other things, but not that. Guess what? Every speck that hurtles through space is his. The universe declares his glory. The planets are held in place and circle because he has spoken it. And nothing will happen till he raises his voice and says, let it be. And then let anybody resist it. To God be the glory. My confidence that Jesus rose from the dead is found in my confidence that the world was created out of nothing. We don't believe that he kind of swooned, or that the resurrection is a nice idea, or that we need it for some sort of comfort. I believe this, that a physical man called Jesus Christ, who created the world, lay dead in a tomb, and God said, live. And he rose from the grave and walked out. That is why you will find that every time God wants to state his right to run the show, he says it something like this: I am the Lord who created heaven and earth. I can imagine letters coming on now, but when I say this earth has a sell-by date, do not misunderstand me. I believe God has made man responsible for looking after the planet. But man is not responsible for sustaining it beyond its sell-by date. There is going to come a time, he says, when he will roll it up. The angel will blow a trumpet and he will come back. Do you see how radically different the Christians' thinking is to the non-Christians? Do not let us appease anybody. They will think we are nutters. But at the end of the day, our responsibility is to stand upon this. Amen? Amen. Hey, is there anybody in the back? That's nice, isn't it? This is our foundation, and this states repeatedly that this universe exists because he spoke it into being. It must never be. You've already sung it. You've agreed it. In the songs that we sing, I can't remember which one. Where it was, but we sang it this morning. And I like this. In the passage that we read from Colossians, not only did he create all things for his own, that sustains it all, but he is the head of the church. Now, I don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to make the point. I didn't put it in my notes to make any more point than this, that I believe God is present in our worship. Powerful to heal. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he has chosen to be the head of the church for which we are the body. The church needs to wake up that the creator of the world lives in the church and is powerful. I think I've done the second coming bit, that he'll come again. And then the Bible says repeatedly, he will create a new heaven and a new earth. And we will live forever. We need to get core belief back. Core belief starts in that fundamental belief that he is the creator of the world, of all things both seen and unseen. Amen? I read the Nicene Creed. This was written in about 315, I think. Something like that. Hey, shall we read it together? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and he became flesh by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. He was also crucified for us, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was buried. And on the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And this kingdom, there will be no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who together with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, and who spoke through the prophets. and one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I await the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Wow. Yeah, it is worth a clap. 300 AD, that was written. Incidentally, I need to point out, I'm nothing against Roman Catholics. It doesn't say Roman, that says Catholic. That means united. One united and apostolic church. Do you notice how much of that creed is found in Colossians chapter 1? Just a massive amount. Wow. We have the greatest message in the planet, that Jesus Christ saves. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, now is the time to put your faith in the Creator of the world. For He is the only hope and only way to the presence of the Father. I want to say to those that are Christian, God has spoken to me often through the verse I'm about to show you. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Don't start mixing it up into a plausible world. Every aspect of the Christian message is powerfully supernatural. The raising of the dead, the infilling of the Spirit, the healing of the sick, the second coming, the creation itself, all those things were spoken by God. And frankly, you make your own choice. But by the time that somebody can say, let there be a universe so big that we can't measure it, if he can do that, actually I'm perfectly comfortable that he can do it in 6 days. He may not have done, but this we know. There was a beginning and there's going to be an end. Amen. Now, I don't know whether I've done anything else other than just shake us up to remind us of what the Bible says. But I think it is worth us remembering that we will never be understood by the unredeemed world, or not necessarily. We need to stand up and say we put our faith in Jesus Christ as the creator of this world, and not fuzz the edges. And tell it to our children and to our grandchildren. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's stand, shall we? Tim, if you're happy, can we just sing that piece that we sung earlier?